Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tatva Chintan Pharma Chem Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Sanjay Jain from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Tushar. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining on Tatva Chintan Pharma Chem Limited Q3 and nine-month FY24 results conference call. We have Tatva Chintan management on the call, represented by Mr. Chintan Shah, Managing Director, Mr. Ashok Bothra, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Ajay Pillay, Investor Relations. I would like to invite Mr. Dinesh Sodhani, AGM Finance, to initiate with opening remarks, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you, Dinesh.
Thank you, Sanjay. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of the management, I am pleased to welcome all of you to Tatva Chintan's earnings call to discuss financial results of the quarter and nine-month ended December 2023. Please note that a copy of all our disclosures is available in the investor section of our website as well as on the stock exchanges. Anything discussed on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. Now I shall hand over the call to our Managing Director, Mr. Chintan Shah. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Dinesh. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this investor call. This time, I am pleased to introduce you to Mr. Ajay Pillay, who I am trying to delegate a lot of my responsibilities in terms of investor relationship. Ajay has worked with me for nearly a decade now, and I don't have any doubts in his efficiency, and I'm sure he's going to do a good job. And today's speech, whatever the management side commentary has been written by me, I'm sitting right next to Ajay, so whatever he is speaking, it is his voice but written by me. And I'm gradually trying to hand over these responsibilities over to him over a period of time. Over to you, Ajay.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, and wish you all a very happy New Year. I feel privileged to take up this responsibility and hope I can serve the company and its investors to the best of my ability. Now, coming to the numbers, this quarter, your company reported a revenue from operations of rupees 842 million, a degrowth of 30% year-on-year and 13% quarter-on-quarter. As conveyed to you during the last earnings call, the industrial challenge continued in the third quarter too. The EBITDA for the quarter is rupees 110 million, a decline of 39% year-on-year and 46% quarter-on-quarter. Revenue from operations for the three quarters of this financial year is rupees 2,952 million, as compared to rupees 2,991 million for the same period in the previous financial year, recording a marginal decline of 1%, whereas the corresponding EBITDA is rupees 526 million and rupees 443 million, respectively, depicting a growth of 19% year-on-year. Further, when we look at the product segment-wise numbers, PTC have registered a quarterly revenue of rupees 248 million, a growth of 7% quarter-on-quarter, and a decline of 24% year-on-year. The nine-month revenue of PTC stands at rupees 796 million, registering a decline of 25% year-on-year. Talking about electrolyte salts, have registered a quarterly revenue of rupees 12 million, a growth of 2% quarter-on-quarter, and a degrowth of 71% year-on-year. The cumulative revenue for three quarters for the segment stands at rupees 37 million, declining by 77% year-on-year. When we come to pharma and agro intermediates and specialty chemicals, they have registered a quarterly revenue of rupees 254 million, a decline of 12% quarter-on-quarter and 4% year-on-year. The revenue of the same for three quarters of this financial year stands at rupees 852 million, registering a degrowth of 18% year-on-year. And when we talk about SDAs, SDAs registered a quarterly revenue of rupees 323 million, a decline of 24% quarter on quarter and 43% year on year. The 9-monthly figure for the same is at rupees 1,247 million, registering a growth of 71% year on year. I'll now give you an overview of the business in the past quarter and outlook over the midterm. We have traveled extensively in past few months and have met most of the key customers in person. Based on the discussion and their forecast for the calendar year 2024, also looking at the slowly improving business sentiments, we are quite confident to state that next two quarters, we will observe gradually improving business sentiment and expect shifting of gears from August onwards, that is quarter two of financial 2025. The quarter three of financial year 24 was expected to be a slow demand quarter because of the financial year end for our global customers. And with their priority of controlling the inventory, some of the dispatch schedule got postponed to the next quarter. But considering the overall market and demand situation in quarter three of financial year 24, the overall achievement and numbers are satisfactory. Let me give you a brief about the developments and the outlook by each category. Starting with phase transfer catalyst, we are happy to say that despite of aggressive competition, we are successful in retaining all the major export customers for PTC supplies for calendar year 2024 and also maintaining our margins. When we come to SDAs, except for China, the demand situation has been steadily improving. Of the ongoing validation at a new potential customer during the quarter, we got formally approved on three different applications and we have received initial commercial orders from the customer. The fourth application is under validation and should get results by end of March 2024. We expect business to be modest in the first half and eventually get to a decent volume from the end of calendar year 2024. Our existing large customer has approved us on two products and we will have larger business on one product from July quarter and on the second product from October quarter. The demand from this customer has been steadily growing. In other development, we are now fully qualified with two other customers, that is customer number 6 and 7, for automotive applications. We will see onset of business from April quarter with these customers. Overall, SDA demands are improving and we shall see a robust next financial year in terms of SDA business. When we come to electrolyte salts business, the business has been slower than anticipated, primarily due to poor offtake in China market. The other large customer has started buying regularly. Due to their efforts in controlling the inventory, they are currently buying at a slower pace, but they are also setting up a fully automated production line for energy storage battery. This will go online in August 2024 and will increase their demand drastically. Our approval with the large European customer has progressed very well, and from October 2024, we shall see onset of business. So 2025 is definitely going to be a very good growth year for electrolyte business. On another customer side, our electrolyte solution from large scale has approved few months back. Now we have been asked to go to the pilot scale and submit electrolyte. This is another large opportunity where we are making steady progress. When we come to the PASC segment of our products, on pharma intermediates, two out of three products are approved by production trials. Third product will be kept under use test in March at customer's plant. Final formal validation of three products are expected to be in place by September and onset of commercial business is scheduled from beginning of 2025. On agro intermediates, two products have been fully approved and third is under validation. We expect robust growth from quarter two of financial year 25 and in this segment as two products get in commercial supplies from August and third product from November. We are happy to share that we have received firm approval of our first photochlorination product from pilot scale. The installation of commercial photochlorination equipment has been completed at the Dahej plant. We have been asked to supply one container of this product for final approval, which we expect to ship out by end of March. This is again an agro intermediate with very large application. Our pilot trials apparently have been running smoothly. However, we face certain teething issues, which we have now identified the potential reason for the issue and are now restarting the trials after necessary equipment modifications. The good part is that the technology or the catalyst is a success, and once these operation issues have been sorted, we are moving towards commercialization in 2025. To conclude, the chemical industry continues to face headwinds and pain is not completely over yet. However, for us, combination of focus, customer relationships and our R&D ability gives us underlying resilience to our business model. In addition, encouraging response from our customers, the manufacturing infrastructure in place will help the company get advantage of the change in industry trends. In meantime, we expect to sustain these challenging times with grit and integrity. With this, I hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Ashok Bothra, to take you through the financial results.
Thank you, Ajishji. Good evening to everyone present on our call today. Now I would like to share the financial highlights for the quarter and 9 months. During Q3 FY24, the company reported revenue from operation of 842 million, a degrowth of 30% YOY basis. Other income during the quarter was at 12 million. During the quarter, the company reported EBITDA of 110 million, a degrowth of 39% YOY basis. EBITDA margins were at 13.1% versus 14.9% in the same period previous year. During the quarter, the company reported PAT of 35 million, a degrowth of 70% YOY basis. PAT margins were at 4.1% versus 9.6% in the same period previous year. During 9 months FY24, the company reported revenue from operation of 2952 million, a degrowth of 1%. During 9 months FY24, the company reported EBITDA of 526 million, a growth of 19% YOY basis. EBITDA margins were at 17.8% versus 14.8% in the same period previous year. The company reported PAT of 207 million, a degrowth of 27% YOY basis for the 9 month FY24. PAT margin was at 7% versus 9.5% in the same period previous year. During 9 month FY24, the employee expenses were at 14% of revenue versus 9% during 9 month FY23 due to new recruitment on account of newly commissioned facility during the year and also recruitment towards the new R&D facility at Baroda. During Q3 FY24, exports stood at 525 million, comprising 62% of the revenue from operation. And during 9 month FY24, the exports stood at 2,084 million, comprising 71% of the revenue from operation. The company has a customer base spanning over 25 plus countries. That concludes an update on the financial highlights of the company. I shall now request the moderator to open the floor for question and answer session.
Sorry, Bothraji, I would like to take a couple of minutes. I think Ajesh has missed a couple of points on his speech, so let me cover that up. On the PASC segments, beginning with monocline, our pilot trials apparently have been running smoothly, but recently we had a couple of hiccups in terms of safety. We have now identified the potential reason for the issues being generated and are now restarting the trials after necessary equipment modification. The good part is that the technology or the catalyst is a success, and once these operational issues have been sorted out, we are moving towards commercialization definitely in 2025. The development work of various projects on continuous flow basis and a couple of projects on electrolysis basis are progressing very well. We expect to scale up 3 products to pilot scale by June 2024. We are adding 2 more continuous flow reactors in our labs, also adding 1 continuous flow reactor at the pilot plant. Our technical discussion and designing of a full-scale plant-scale continuous flow reactor is nearing completion. Updates about flame retardants. The market situation in this segment continues to remain very sluggish, so we have not yet started commercial production, but we continue our development of products. This quarter, we have completed development of our second product, meeting with all the stringent requirements of specifications. Looking at now, we now have definitive timelines of commercialization of 6 products on the PASC, 3 on the pharma side and 3 on the agro side. Looking at these short timelines, we are absolutely sure of running out of plant capacities by the end of 2024. To ensure smooth progress, we have decided to move forward with a plan of capex of about 700 million INR and set up one plant with 150 KL reactors and a separate distillation plant. In December, we finally received, December of 2023, we finally received the formal environmental clearance for the greenfield project at our new land in Jholwar, Dahej. First, we intend to expand our existing site at Dahej, which will be much quicker. And then we will open the site construction at the new site in Jholwar in 2025. We expect to close FY24 with a revenue in the range of about 400 to 410 crores and roughly an EBITDA margin carrying at about 20% levels. We continue to remain sure of FY25 to be the next phase of growth led by growing volumes and new customers in SDAs, and also by multiple new products getting into commercializations in the PSC. Thank you. And now please let us open up the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Suruchi. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Chintan bhai, just want to understand, because the if I see FDA sales, more or less, we have done the FDA sales of the last year in a 9 months only. And what I remember, the FDA was the highest margin product in our overall segment in 2022 is the also the major driver of the margin. So is that the margin in FDA is going down in the last 18 months or something? Or what, Matla? Because we don't know the margin-wise something, because our margin profile has also gone down. Top line has gone down. I will come to that also. But the margin is also going down.
There are two aspects. In April, late April this year, we started commercial production from the newly expanded capacities. So our expenses in terms of recruitment, I think we have added nearly 130 people so far from April to December. Your terms of consumption of fuel, power, everything has shot up because we have nearly doubled the production capacities. The new capacities have practically, we have been utilizing only for, you know, production of these new 6 products that we did and supply to the customers for validation. And also 3 of our large products where we needed, again, a prior approval from the customer that if we are going to change a plant to produce it, then we would need an approval. So those were the 3 products which went to this new facility for, again, practically on terms of validation purpose. So apparently this new facility seems to be very busy, but ideally speaking, this new facility is really not generating any revenue so far. This is number one. So the margins in SDAs are absolutely intact, but the issue is unabsorbed cost because of relatively low usage of the available capacities. In terms of top line, both in PTCs and SDAs, there is a severe drop in raw material pricing. And since most of the product pricing are linked with your raw material prices in a equation with the customer, so when your raw material prices go down, your typically the final product prices also have to be relatively adjusted. In terms of PTCs, I would say the relative drop in terms of finished good pricing has been nearly
25% to 30%. In terms of STAs, the margins, the price realizations have dropped by nearly 20% to 30%. But this is not, there is no movement in terms of the actual price realization in terms of margin for the product. So per kg basis, still the margins remain intact. The only thing is you see a lower top line in terms of value realization is going down.
Okay, got it. So in terms of volume, if we want to see, then how much we did as compared to last year 9 months?
So in terms of that, I will have to give you the exact number, but I assume it's a growth of about 30% compared to last year in terms of volume.
Are we
and
saying
this is again, just to brief you what is the real situation on SDA. So we have 4 commercial customers so far. Out of these, 2 are actively buying. Our largest customer and the 4th new customer in a different geography, these 2 are the customers who are regularly buying. Our second largest customer is in China, who is yet to resume buying, who has not bought a single kg product since last 1 year. And the 3rd customer from the European territory has started buying, but is still on a very small volume. So practically this growth, whatever numbers are we are seeing in terms of SDA volumes and value, is technically coming only from 2 customers who are now back to nearly normal volumes of what they used to buy pre-COVID levels. And now with this largest customer, we are now approved for 2 different products where we didn't have the prior opportunity. So now we have been fully approved. 1 product goes into commercialization from June quarter, and 2nd product we expect to start selling to them from the October quarter, coming June and coming October quarter. So this will also push up the volumes. Another interesting development on SDA, as Ajesh already talked about, is out of the 4 applications we were under validation with one of a very large potential customer, we have been approved on 3 of them, and we have already received the initial purchase orders for the current quarter from this customer. And the 4th application, we expect to have final validation results out by March of this year. Again, their volumes are low for this year, but they expect to start a handsome commercialization for this volume beginning from October of 24. So definitely volumes and value in SDA is going to become very interesting. Again, we have 2 more customers. Of course, the business is not very large on those 2 new accounts, but we have been approved for the automotive application by these 2 customers. Potentially, we may see a value coming in at about $2-2.5 million from these customers. So it's not a very large account, but these 2 customers are new addition, which were not there on our list. So customer number 6, customer number 7. So all these put together, everything gets into commercialization beginning from April to October. So I'm sure SDA is going to be a very interesting year. Next financial year is going to be quite interesting in terms of SDA.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, my question is, has there been any kind of a deferral of sales in any of the business, because it looks like the revenue run rate has substantially fallen, or is it just that the lower demand that has driven this kind of a mess?
No. Padmanabhanji, there were about 11 containers which were postponed to this quarter from the December quarter. So there was some deferral because none of the major customers wanted any invoices to be raised in the, because it was their year ending, and they are probably trying to show good numbers in terms of their inventory values. So they didn't want any invoices to be raised in December, and everything got postponed to January. So that is one part, but it is not a very significant amount. But the large contribution is coming from the drop in prices. Because if you see a 25% price drop in PTCs and SDA, is really significant impacting your top line. So that is one of the key reasons. I would not say that business has been improving steadily, but the only impacted segment, I would say, was the electrolyte salts, where definitely demands were very low. But apart from that, I'm really happy with the performance that we have done in the last quarter.
The major aspect is we have to raise these volumes, and this is what we expect to start from August, because once you start producing your PASCs, I'm sure we are going to run out of plant capacities August onwards. And that is the reason why we are peak starting a CAPEX immediately and investing about 70 crores on that. And once you have this plant getting fully occupied is when you will really see the numbers coming in. Because most of this cost goes unabsorbed in terms of the overhead cost goes, a lot of this overhead cost goes unabsorbed because of lower utilization.
Sure, sir. So any idea how much is this 11 containers in terms of sales, absolute sales, will it be decent enough?
It was roughly about 11 crores, 11.4 crores roughly about.
Okay. And sir, with respect to the ongoing tensions on the Red Sea, do we see any kind of impact specifically going forward on our business?
Logistic costs have shot up like anything. So of course, past quarter we have not seen that impact, but logistic cost is going to be impacted in this current quarter. Freight rates to Europe we have seen skyrocketed from roughly about $900 a box container freight from India to main European port. The freight has gone up from 900 to nearly $3,500. So that's a significant cost that probably everyone is going to incur. Similar is the situation on the US route. But besides that, besides the marginal cost that you are going to incur, I don't see any other major impact coming in from that situation.
So that will basically help reprice the product as well, right? I mean, that way.
So it will not happen immediately. So it will happen over a time. So one quarter you are going to absorb that cost more or less.
Sure, sir. And sir, coming to your guidance earlier, our guidance was, the sales, going about 70% to 100% in FY25. And if I, go by, our current guidance that we are going to run out of capacity now, which means that you are primarily looking at the FY25 numbers being very similar to what we had initially thought, or even slightly higher. But probably there could be one quarter of pain. So is that a right way to look at it, sir?
I would assume at least a 70% growth is justifiable. That is considering primarily because we are going to see a lot of value erosion has already happened in terms of value of the products on BTCs and SDAs. Otherwise, the numbers would have been even been better. And also all the three agro products which we were actually scheduled to begin commercially from February or March of 2024, because of their poor offtake and their demand and their constraints in terms of productivity, these have been gradually postponed, and now been rescheduled to start commercialization from July and August. And now this is form, it seems. So now they have instructed us and they have started planning to place the POs and stuff like that. So now I don't see this is very firm timeline to start commercialization from August of 24.
Sure. And beyond FY25, we will also see the opportunity in the BS7 on the SDA side, which is where I would assume that the new capacity is also coming in.
Yes. Again, unfortunately, the SDA BS7 got shifted from 2025 to 2027. So, yes, so next year is not going to be the BS7, but the year after that, so FY26 is when we will see actual commercialization of the BS7 also happening. And also, we are, as Ajesh, as I mentioned on my later on speech, is we are also commercializing, so piloting three new products which are involving continuous flow chemistry and electrolysis. So again, these are very nice molecules. One of them is getting into the battery materials, so the electrolyte products. And the rest two of them are getting into the polymer side of the chemistry. And these are very large size molecules, and we see a good potential. Each of these molecules carrying a value of about 50 crores in terms of revenue potential is what we are piloting in this June. Up to June, we will pilot all these three new products.
And sir, one final thing before I join the queue is, after the price erosion, of products across the segments. The current capacity, I mean, now what do you think should be the asset turn and should be the optimum, you know, sales that one should expect? And also, if you can give some color on the margin, I mean, what should one expect in FY25?
The asset turn is taking very interesting changes because with these newer chemistries, these are more lengthier chemistries. So far, when we were involved into PTCs and SDAs and electrolyte salts, we were typically seeing an asset turn of in excess of 3. Now, when we are looking at these all new PASC segment products, which are multi-stage chemistry, so you require more number of reactors to achieve the desired product. So the asset turn is now looking at 1:1.5, maximum 1:2, but realistically speaking, 1:1.5 is what we are looking at for all the new products that we have been doing. Because you may be doing one stage on electrolysis or one stage on continuous flow chemistry, but there would be another couple of stages which are conventional chemistries. So this is where your reactors requirements, your plant requirements become, the capex requirements become much higher compared to what we have been doing in all these last years. But typically the asset turn is what we are looking at. So this 70 crores what we are going to invest is going to be an add-on facility to what we have already done. And out of this we are looking at, so if we don't invest this 70 crores, and what happens if we invest this 70 crores? So by investing 70 crores, we will have only an additional revenue of about 95 to 100 crores. But if we don't do it, then we will lose on a lot of opportunities and mismatch in terms of delivery timelines and stuff like that. So that is the reason why we are moving so fast in investing this and creating one new block of production plant at the Dahej facility.
Sure. And sir, this, you know, 1.5 times asset turn versus 3 times asset turn, are we being adequately compensated by margins for lower asset turn? I mean, what could be the incremental margins, if I can assume, say, in FY25?
Not realistically incremental margins. Probably margins, we are working on similar margin levels. But when we are looking at very large potential, so for example, one of these agro products that we are commercializing this year has an eventual potential to, you know, give you a 200 crore revenue. Now, when you are looking at those kind of opportunities, then of course, you know, there is a set-off between volume and margin. But because we are introducing something in a different way, so at least we are able to retain the margins what we are doing on the other products in terms of electrolytes or PTCs or SDAs. But we, despite of having double the capex requirements, it is not necessarily translating into a much higher margins compared to SDAs or the electrolyte source.
And sir, on the steady state margin side, on FY25, what should one look at? Because currently there is under, you know, utilization of asset, and the newer, you know, scale up is yet to happen. So probably this margins what we are seeing in the last few quarters are also not right representative. So what should one realistically look at, sir? I mean, in terms of, you know, top line, we understand what you said, but in terms of margin, should it be, you know, northwards of say 25%?
So from October, when the plant really will be running at a full capacities, I would say a realistic margin estimation of 25% would not go haywire.
So, thanks a lot, sir, Alexander.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabyasachi Mukherjee from Bajaj Finserv. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is a bit of a clarification. You spoke about almost 25 to 30% price erosion in PTC and SDA. That has led to revenue kind of contraction. But you also mentioned that the absolute EBITDA per kg is somewhat intact. Mathematically, then your percentage margin should look better, right?
And that is why we are not going in the red. Otherwise, we definitely would have been in the red with this kind of top line. Because if you look at the overhead increase that has happened in last 9 months, periodically, if you just compare it on a quarter-on-quarter basis, you will realize the steep rise in terms of your overhead cost. And despite of that, at this top line, we are able to sustain is only the reason because we are seeing an artificial gain in terms of percentage margins on these products. Otherwise, we would definitely have been in trouble by now so far. So the volumes have picked up, there is no doubt about it. But the values have eroded because the top line is going down, because the product pricing is linked to your raw material cost, which is pushing the product cost down. But your per kg margin is fortunately remaining intact, which is helping you to sustain in this situation.
So essentially what you're trying to say is that the kind of resource or capacity that we have added, that is not yet absorbed,
yes.
is not utilized.
So that's what I told on the previous question. Yeah, because that's what exactly I told on. See, we had 200 KL capacity of reactors. And in April, we started with another 200 KL being added. Now, this additional 200 KL reactors is technically a whole new plant. And we have only produced these six products which have gone into validation on the pharma and the agro side. And only three of our existing products where we required revalidation from the customer because we are going to change a plant location where we are going to produce. So besides these nine product campaigns, we have practically not utilized this plant. And we are incurring the cost 24/7 in terms of manpower, electricity, utilities. Even if you run four reactors out of 20 reactors, you are running your cooling plant, chilling plant, brine plant, everything is just going on and on. So it's an unabsorbed cost is really very high, which is detrimental for me.
Got it. My next question is on the demand revival commentary that probably you made, that probably sometime in August we'll see the kind of shifting gears in business that you mentioned in the presentation as well.
Yes.
My question is, in an earlier call, in Q2 call, you mentioned this to be timeline was somewhere around June 24. Now it has been postponed to August. Do you see further postponing of this? I mean, how do we
at least as far as we are concerned, I can talk only personally about Tattva Chintan. Right now I'm not talking in terms of the overall industry, but let us say if I per se talk only about Tattva Chintan, I don't see any further shifting to happen because now we have a given definitive fixed schedule. We have started procuring raw materials and started planning the production for those campaigns. So now I don't see any possibility of any postponement of these timelines, at least for us. Except for now generally speaking about the overall industry per se, not only about Tattva Chintan, but general industry per se, then I would say agrochemicals, we would see a similar 2024 as we have seen in 2023. Demands are definitely not going to really pick up in terms of the agro product requirements. In terms of polymer, people are still skeptical. There is a slight hope and a slight indication that things are improving, but this could be deceptive. So at least 6 months from now, don't expect any major change in terms of polymers or epoxies to change in a big way. Apart from that, I think the SDA segment is doing well. The pharma side products are doing pretty well. So I think the dyes and the pigment industry has started to pick up nicely now. So I believe the overall indications are going towards a positive, but this is not going to happen very immediately. I would say be patient at least for next coming two quarters. And then overall per se in terms of general industry perspective also, we should see better sentiments beginning maybe 6 months down the line. But as far as we are concerned personally, I would say we would not have any potential shift in terms of shifting gears. It has to happen from the month of August.
Got it. Last question from my side, bit fundamental one on the SDA application. Now, there is a lot of hue and cry about, electric vehicle and in the commercial vehicle segment, if not EV, then, hydrogen may be used as a fuel. When it comes to SDAs, it goes specially into the emission control thing. So what's your thought on this? If at all we see, I understand it is a time-taking process, but then let's say 5 years down the line, if all the commercial vehicle turns into EV or let's say hydrogen, do you see any opportunity in SDA, or do you kind of think of compensating it with other your product lines?
So, no, if you say in terms of timelines, so let us say the EV cars, the passenger cars. So, it is very hypothetical to state that in next 5 years, everything will become EV. So, this is practically not possible. Again, as you rightly mentioned, commercial, large commercial vehicles getting into EV is still a way, way, way down the line. Potentially, it's not 5 years. I would say at least a timeline of 15 to 20 years. Again, as EV technology has taken a couple of decades to really start showing penetration, hydrogen is just being demonstrated on a pilot scale, I would say, not even pilot scale. So it is still probably a potentially couple of decades away when we really talk of hydrogen, because again, this technology, there are a lot of concerns with related to safety and commercialization and making hydrogen available at various outlets in a safe manner. So there are a lot of things that are getting into it. So of course, I would say 20 years should be a definitive phase. It may lose its growth phenomena potentially over next 10 years down the line, and then come to a stable phase and then gradual decline potentially 15 to 20 years down the line. Now, this is also our personal thought process, that how will we protect our business in case that, let us say hypothetically, if someone is feeling this can happen in next 10 years, what will you do after 10 years? And that is the reason why we moved into the electrolyte space, on the battery space, where, you know, if you go from the fuels and get into any EV or any other mode of battery systems, you will require electrolytes. So let us be present there. And we have made an entry in at a very tight time. So we have been working on this electrolyte space now nearly a decade. I believe it was 2011, the first time we got introduced to it and started developing the product. So it's more than a decade when now we have established ourselves as a recognized player. So except for lithium battery, we are there in most of the segments where people come to us and check with us whether we can offer them the electrolyte salts or the electrolytes for these batteries. So we made that conscious choice a lot of years back, that what if the fuels cars don't, you know, as you are assuming that these things will die over a period of time, then what we will do. So this is an alternative plan for us to keep the business thrive and growing all the time.
Got it. So directionally, let's say, you know, if not 5 years, 10 years or 15 years down the line, our, you know, mix of these segments will look a bit different. SDA will probably come down and then electrolyte salts will go. That is directionally the thought process, right?
Right. And these are all, see, basically now there is this new application they are working on in terms of plastic reprocessing. So this was never heard of probably 5 years back, where the SDA could be used. Now this is something new that has come up. So there are a lot of things that people are working on. So these are all zeolite-based applications. And when it comes to precision, they require SDA. So if not this application, what will be the next big thing? So there are a lot of companies who are working on these things day in, day out, and nobody is going to let their business die. So from Euro 6 to going to Euro 7 again changes a lot of equations in terms of SDA consumptions. The products that are required in terms of SDAs are going to change. So a lot of changes are going to happen, and all these things are being pushed so that the large catalyst companies can continue to have their businesses intact and continue to grow. And they are also simultaneously working on this variety of different applications where they can synthesize new zeolites for new applications.
Got it, sir. Extremely helpful. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Chintan bhai. Thanks for taking my question.
I got three of them. First on this CapEx of 70 crore, what we have announced today. When are we expecting the commercialization of this plant?
October of 2024.
October of 2024. So we will be able to put this plant in next, say, 7-8 months.
Yes. So we have already completed the designing part.
Okay.
All the vendors are already coming in from the same supply chain what we have utilized in our past expansion. Even our construction company which we are going to utilize remains the same. And we have just inducted on board a new PMC team, which is something different. So we have brought in a multinational PMC team to take care of this project. And this purposely we have taken in account because, you know, it's more professional in terms of the earlier PMC we were using. And we will also have a feel whether we want to utilize the same PMC for our upcoming new greenfield project, you know. So it would be a good handholding and a kind of an experience sharing with this new PMC team.
What is the PMC team? Can you elaborate?
CBRE is what we are inducting.
Okay.
We have already inducted, not inducting, but we have already inducted.
And will we require this to get again audited? Because this will be technically a separate plant, right?
Only if we want to produce SDS from there. But no, we are not going to produce the SDS. For the agro intermediates, specifically we are bringing in this for the three new ag intermediates that we are commercializing. And there we will not require any kind of validation, revalidation of the product.
Fair enough. Second, on the SDA, you said that the price erosion is 25-30% and YOY revenue growth decline is 40+%. So technically,
I'll just correct this. So not all SDAs we have seen, but our largest SDA has seen this kind of a correction in terms of value, because the raw material prices came down from $18 to $10.8.
Okay.
And that is what is leading to the price drop from $12 to $9 in that particular SDA. And now, so this is when the raw material price was $12. Now it has gone down to $10.8. So we are expecting the further price to go down to $8.5. So currently the price has come down from $12 to $9, and we are expecting it to go down to $8.5. But it is purely the conversion of what quantity of raw material per kg we are using to make this SDA. And this is the drop in the raw material price. So it is pure mathematics. So if $3 kam ho raha hai, apna consumption equivalent to $2 hai, so we have to reduce $2 from the product price. It is very simple mathematics that we follow with the customer.
Fair enough. So with this fall in the raw material, does it still make a sense to be a backward integration which we were talking earlier?
Yes. So this is the product that we have already backward integrated. Now with this kind of a price drop, if you are able to buy at the same price at which you are able to produce, then why would you want to produce it?
So the
going for a strategic 30% production in-house. So that is, we continue to do that because that is our strategy and that is what we have presented to the customers. That non-Chinese origin raw material, absolutely indigenized, made in India, and this is what a non-China supply chain is what we are offering, and that is what has got them interested, and we have got this opportunity with a large customer. So we continue to produce 30% in-house, but balance we don't even see a reason why we should unnecessarily occupy your plant.
Got it. Next, coming to the PASC segment, now that all the products are in place and we are telling that we are very confident of production, when should the real revenue recognition start? Will it start in June quarter or you expect something
August
to come?
Yeah, so it will begin from the month of August, so quarter of July to September.
Okay.
So full that quarter, if you say, then it will be October to December. So this will be a part quarter, and October to December will be a full quarter where you will recognize the revenue from PASC.
Got it. And on the SDA, we said that we are now approved for the 3 products and 4th is awaited. When should we start that revenue recognition?
I would say a realistic revenue recognition from October of 24, when, you know, this large customer and the second product with our largest existing customer, both we expect to have commercialization from September or October, full-scale commercialization. So I would say October. Of course, the revenues in SDAs will continue to, and it has already begun, and it will continue to grow from today until September. But October, we will start seeing a real shift in that phenomena.
Got it. One on the guidance you gave for this year, you said that 400 to 425 crores. If I look at the lower end, we are talking of 105 crores of sales next quarter, 230. So anywhere between 105 to 130. And in first 9 months, we have done an EBITDA margin of 17.6. So technically, we are talking that next quarter, we will be hitting a margin of close to 20 to 23%. You're saying that this 11 crores, what is got delayed, will get recognized. And yes, then there will be a growth sequentially.
Correct.
That's a fair understanding, right?
Yeah, yeah. Perfect.
Perfect. Okay. One last before I get back onto the queue. More on the electrolyte side, what's our talk on the customer side? When are they completing their automation project? When we can really expect our offtake to happen? Will it happen in CY24 or it will take 1 year for them, and for us it's only a CY25 story?
No. So this, our large customer is automizing their battery assembly plant. And this will go online from August of 2024. Right. And typically the number of batteries that they assemble today manually and the number of batteries that they will assemble by this automated line is going to become 4 times.
Okay.
And this is their first automated line, which they will become operational in August of 24. And they have got subsidized and low cost funding from the government of US, where they will eventually set up 4 such assembly lines.
But
this will not happen. Additional 3 more assembly lines will be set up over a span of next 2 years. So from 24 to 26, they will eventually set up 4 assembly lines. So your X demand of today virtually translates into 14 to 16X in next 3 years time. Considering they even produce at 50% of their capacities, then also this will translate into a very large business over a period of next 2 to 2.5 years time.
And that product is verified successful. That's
yeah, successful. That we have been supplying since last 1.5 years, almost 2 years now, I think.
Fair enough. I have more questions, but paucity of time, I will get back onto the queue. Thanks, Chintan, and best of luck for many coming quarters.
Thank you. The next question is from Krishnan Parwani, JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Chintan bhai. Just 2 clarifications from my side. So the first is, I think since you mentioned about a 1.5 times asset turns, so on your capacity expansion, which you did at about 150 odd crores, you'd be able to do 225 crores of incremental revenue. So that means about a 625 crores of next year. Is that correct?
Sorry. Which 150 crores are you talking?
The one that you did during the IPO.
Oh, no. So that was a mix of having PTCs, SDAs, and the PSA all together. So there definitely we had an about 200. What was our capex? 250. So even so, of course, from the IPO process, it was maybe 150 or 160 crores that was promised, and we did about 250 crores of capex in that, and there we see a asset turn of about 2. So that definitely takes us from 400 crores to 900 crores in terms of revenue. Now what I'm trying to say is these new product launches that are coming in, the PSC, where the pharma and the agro intermediates, these are all coming in as multi-stage chemistries. So let us say if I produce X kgs of a product, theoretically I am producing 3x or 4x kgs of total chemicals to eventually come down to x, because multi-stage, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, everywhere you are producing XXX to go to the X product. Theoretically, you are producing 3X, but ultimately selling only 1X out of it. So that is what is causing the asset turn, if I only say on talk in terms of PASC, and which will be our focus of next 3 years in terms of any development, and this is going to be our large growth driver over next 3 years. Then I would say an asset turn of 1.5 is what we are looking at. So the new 70 crores that we are intending to invest right now is specifically for this PASC, the agro intermediates. That is where we are looking only at 1.5 asset turn.
Understood. So basically earlier that the initial capex or the IPO capex that you had incurred, so there you had probably guided about a 3x asset turn, which you have lowered it to 2x. Correct. And then the incremental for PASC, it is a 1.5x. That is correct, right?
Right.
Okay. So that's clear. Just one last clarification. So in terms of whatever incremental revenue that, you know, you're going to do from, let's say, FY24 onwards, so could you break it down, like, let's say, what percentage of incremental revenue would be from PSC, and let's say if the incremental revenue is 300-400 crores over the next 3 years, and the breakup between the PSC and the SDS, that's it?
Primarily, the growth is going to come from PASC and SDA, 60% from PASC and 40% from SDA.
Understood.
We are looking at about, the major, so all these six products going into commercialization, so all these will take impact from month of August. Yeah. So the first 4 months, if we exclude, then if on a whole year basis we are talking, then we are looking at about 200 crores in terms of revenue from the PASC segment, and about an additional revenue of incremental revenue of 80 to 100 crores on the SDA side.
I'm sorry, what number did you say for the incremental for PASC?
200 crores.
200 crores, and for SDA it is 80 crores. So roughly about a 680 crores more or less.
Correct.
Okay, understood. Understood. Thank you so much for answering my questions, and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vipin Goyal from Mirabilis Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I had one question on the flame retardant segment. So, I mean, at one point, we were expecting about 200 crore peak sales for the product that we were developing, which now we have decided not to produce because of the market conditions. So, I mean, what are our plans here? And also, if you could talk about the second product that you are developing in this segment, and which you talked about earlier in the call.
So all the clients in this segment are basically polymer manufacturers. It is not that we are never going to produce. It is purely because of the current market situations and the price at which these products are available, which are ridiculously low. It doesn't make any commercial sense to produce this right now. Just to give you an example, one of the first product that we have introduced in this flame retardant category. Let us say my raw material cost comes to $2.8. The product is available at $2.9 today. Nobody can make, see, if you add 1 kg plus 1 kg, you can make maximum 2 kgs. You cannot make 3 kgs, right? And this product pricing is in such a way as if people are able to make 1 kg out of only 500 kgs raw material. It is unrealistic. So wherever, and my key competitors in this area are the people who have large capacities to produce bromine, which is the key raw material for that. So I believe the product pricing is happening globally in a way where they are only getting rid of the bromine that they produce. So they are just valuating their bromine and not evaluating the product per se in terms of flame retardants which they are selling. If I say in terms of raw material cost, if 60% cost comes from bromine in this particular product, so if let us say a $3 product, $1.8 is coming out of bromine as a raw material cost. Now this product is available at $2.8. So practically they are trying to sell bromine and not actually considering any overheads or margins on the rest of the chemistries that they are doing.
So as of today, this is not, this same product was available at $4.5, $5, $6, $6.5, and went up to $8, you know. But a standard pricing of this product is about $5, $5.5 a kilo. And that is where it has any economic sense to produce. But because the demand is very low, it's probably not even 50% than it used to be a year and a half back. And that is what has caused this price to drop. People are sitting on large piece of inventories, trying to just get rid of it at whatever price they are able to. So as of today, it doesn't make sense to produce these products, and that is why we are holding off. But we have very interesting negotiation going on with one of the customers in the Western world. It's a very large potential customer where we have been fully approved right now. And of course, the business is not happening per se because of the pricing situation that persists. Now, this customer has slowly and steadily come to a point where they want, they have agreed on a pricing mechanism irrespective of what the market price would be. So based on the global raw material pricing and a conversion model, that what would be the overheads to produce at Tattva, and let us say Tattva has a 10% margin over it, and what is the product cost. So this is the kind of a mechanism which they have nearly agreed. I am not announcing this today because they have not formally agreed or it is not 100%. But they are moving in this direction where they understand that today it's an artificially low pricing. But when the market turns and suddenly these prices start to rise, the availability becomes a question mark and you have to pay very high spot prices. And which people have done in last 3 years, you know, paying abnormally very high prices in terms of spot buying. So they don't want to get into that situation. And virtually, we are very near to close this argument with them to have a contract in place, which will be governed in terms of a fixed margin for Tattva and fixed overhead. And the price of the product varies in terms of the raw material pricing as and when it changes. The second product which we introduce, again, it comes from the same category. It's a flame retardant getting into polymers and similar set of customers which we are working.
Sure, sir. This really helps. Sir, one more thing on the SDA front. I mean, what we understand is that the first and the fourth customer are back to pre-COVID levels. So, I mean, just to understand what portion of the pre-COVID peak sales that we are doing in terms of volume, what would they be? And
The customer number two, the China customer, which is not buying since probably last 14 or 15 odd months, was buying nearly 90% of what my customer one used to buy. Maybe 80%. Yeah. So not very less than my customer number one. And this customer has literally vanished from the scene in last 14 or 15 months. That is a kind of demand situation within China where they are selling very less quantum of their own products within their own territory. Now, despite of that, we are seeing this growth. So you can understand what the customer number one and customer number four are bringing in terms of volumes, nearly offsetting what the Chinese customer is not off-taking.
Again, if you have to map the fifth customer in this on the backdrop of this,
it is the largest potential customer, even potentially much larger than my largest customer today.
Okay. And sir, on the SDA front, again, you had alluded some quarters back that there is a high cost inventory sitting. So is that all being utilized? Has been utilized, or is it still we are holding still some part of it?
No. We still have a lot of idle capacities lying around. And this I expect we should overcome this scenario from July or August is what I strongly feel, and I'm very confident of that. In fact.
Okay. So will that also be flowing into the margins? I mean, our margins.
Of course, yeah. Because this is idle cost is a huge cost. It's an unbearable cost. It's a huge burden for us. Because, you know, as I explained repeatedly, all your equipment facilities are running but producing hardly anything. It's a huge cost for you. Just imagine bringing people from Bharuch to Dahej. It's a distance of 50 kilometers. We are, how many buses we have? 12? we have 12 buses across the shift, and now we have just doubled that, right, from 6 to 12. So even if you produce or not produce, you are paying for 6 buses on a daily basis to transport your employees from Bharuch to the Dahej and back. And this is what, a cost of 24 lakhs a month? So this is the kind of cost that you keep on adding if your plant is not operating at a full capacity. So once this becomes fully operational, your revenue recognition starts happening, and all this cost automatically starts getting absorbed in a decent way. And that is where you will see a decent growth in terms of EBITDA as well.
One last question. Again, on the SPF, and since now we are seeing picking up in volumes, so how do you think about the PT segment? How should we think about it in the future? And what kind of growth can we...
PTC segment, actually, there is no real drop in terms of volumes, okay? The volumes are nearly the same. Of that, there may not be a growth. There is a significant erosion in terms of pricing. Just for an example, our largest selling phase transfer catalyst is TBAB. Let us say about what, by last March, okay, March of 2023, we were selling this product at 425 rupees in Indian market. Today, this product is selling at 250, 275 rupees. Now, how do you compensate your top line growth when your product prices, this is not necessarily, I'm talking that margins have dropped, only your product prices have dropped so drastically. But in PTCs, we have also seen margin erosion because there is very fierce competition in PTC in domestic market. Our margins and customers in exports have been very well protected. But here, the scenario is a bit different when we talk of domestic customers, where it's not that it's a catalyst and people say that it's a very critical component of reaction, so we don't want to change a source. That is a philosophy which most of the MNC customers live with. But it is not the scenario when we talk of the domestic customers. So here people tend to change source of catalyst even for a 5 rupee change in the product pricing. So here we have erosion of margins from the domestic front, but at least on the export front, where 70% of our PTC revenue again comes from the exports, but those margins have remained pretty much intact.
So volume largely should be, I mean, at this similar level going forward.
Sorry?
The volumes for PTC still remain at these levels?
PTC has never been a very exponential growth business for us. So PTC has been organically growing at 10 to 15% per year. And so this year may be an exception to that, that there may not be a volume growth. It's a top line degrowth because of the product price has gone down. So we see a top line degrowth in that segment. But in terms of per se the business, it remains very much stable. In fact, for the upcoming 2024 year, we have already business in place for most of my existing large MNC customers. So those businesses have been secured. So I'm pretty much relaxed in terms of PTC sales for the calendar year 2024 already.
Sure, sir. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.